The rest of you, please take your Bibles and open to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. As you know, we have come to the place in Matthew where Jesus is directly challenging and condemning the religious leaders. He tells three parables condemning the religious leaders. The first two are the parable of the two sons and the parable of the wicked tenants. Let's read those just to remind ourselves of them. Matthew 21, 28. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. Verse 28. He went to the first and said, "Son, go to work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Remember, Jesus is confronting and condemning the religious leaders in their self-righteousness. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." It's a very important parable and sets the stage for the one we will study today. Remember that Jesus is condemning the religious leaders for their self-righteousness. The second parable that he tells the religious leaders is the parable of the tenants, and it's in verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Remember, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied. "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. Jesus is still condemning the religious leaders for their self-righteousness, and he tells a third parable. Would you please stand with me as we consider our scripture today? Matthew 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Will you pray with me, please? This is an incredibly glorious story and passage of Scripture. Would you pray that God would open your heart and soften your heart and remove Satan's blinders from your eyes and make you good soil for His Word, that the glorious Word of Jesus Christ would bear fruit, would be planted in your heart and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray now for the other people in this room, that God would soften their hearts and open their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for His Word, that the Word would go down deep in their hearts and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray now for me? As usual, this is such a fantastic passage of Scripture that all I need to do is offer a few words of explanation and get out of the way. So would you please pray that I would preach accurately? The Scripture has all the power. All I have to do is explain it correctly. So would you please pray that I would do that? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Jesus again is speaking to the religious leaders. And he is rebuking them because they have rejected the wedding invitation. Verse by verse. Verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." The king, quite obviously, is God the Father. And the wedding banquet is the glorious kingdom of heaven. Verse 3. "He," that is God, "sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come." The servants, of course, are the prophets and all those who have proclaimed the message of the kingdom. The invited guests that rejected are the religious leaders and the self-righteous Jews that followed them. Listen to Bible scholar Michael Wilkins. He says, "The invited guests are the self-righteous Jews who followed the religious leaders." I want you to remember the word self-righteous. The invited guests who turned down the invitation are self-righteous people. Jesus' parables are so powerful because they are shocking. In Jesus' day, to refuse a personal invitation to a king's son's wedding would be totally unthinkable. His audience is shocked already. It was completely disrespectful to the king. In fact, it was a dangerous thing to do, to refuse the invitation of the king. Can you see that Jesus already has the religious leaders' attention? He says, "God the Father, the King of all the earth, has invited you to his banquet, and you refused." Verse 4. "Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.'" Here, once again, we see the incredible grace of God. The invited guests refuse to come to the banquet. So patiently and graciously, God the Father, the King in this story, extends the invitation again. This time with more persuasion. Look at the text in verse 4. He says, "My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered. Everything is ready." He lays it out. It's going to be a great party. And you're invited. Those that refused, he goes out again with an invitation. In Jesus' day, a wedding celebration would be several days long. This story is about the opening meal. This is what I want you to see, first of all. To be invited to the wedding of a king is a great honor, but it is also a command. And listen, please, my brothers and sisters, to be invited to the wedding of the king's son is a great honor. God's invitation to you and I to come and be a part of his kingdom is a great, undeserved honor. But it is also a command. To reject Jesus Christ is not only refusing a great honor. To reject Jesus Christ, to refuse to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, is not only refusing a great honor, it is the ultimate act of disobedience. The invitation to become a Christian is an honor, but it is also a command. Always leave your finger in Matthew 22. And please join me in Acts chapter 17. Verse 29. Acts 17, 29 and 30. This is Paul preaching, "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." You and I, brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, have been given a great honor. We have been invited to the King's banquet. It's a great honor, and I want you to see, and I'm going to say this over and over again, that this parable is about self-righteousness. You and I have been invited to the banquet, and it is a great honor, and it is an honor that we totally do not deserve. You want to see my testimony? I'm going to give you my testimony over and over again, but I don't need to give you my testimony because my testimony is the same as Paul's. Please join me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief." That's my testimony. "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason," what reason? The fact that I was the worst sinner, "for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." When you realize that, you will be overwhelmed with praise. Just as the Apostle Paul was, verse 17, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." It's almost as though Paul cannot continue on with the letter without stopping and expressing praise to Almighty God. And that is the gospel. You and I were the worst sinners imaginable, but the King invited you to his banquet anyway. Please join me in Colossians chapter 1. Here is how wonderful it is, my brothers and sisters. Verse 9, Colossians 1 9. Here is how wonderful it is, my brothers and sisters, to be invited into the kingdom. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God has graciously invited us to be the part of his kingdom. God graciously invited the Jewish leaders to be a part of his kingdom. But with a self-righteous attitude and with a hardened heart, they rejected his invitation. And many people today do the same thing. Please join me back in our text in Matthew 22. I hope you kept your finger there. Matthew 22, verse 5. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Brothers and sisters, the king's violent response to the refusal of his invitation shows us that the king considered the refusal an act of rebellion. A great way to do Bible study is to read all four Gospels and watch as Jesus tells similar stories in each one, because each one will emphasize a certain thing. There's a very similar story to this that will emphasize verse 5 in Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, 15. Always keep your finger in Matthew. We will never leave Matthew 22. Luke 14, 15. We will take it to the end, which is verse 24. When one of those at the table heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat in the feast of the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married. I don't want to come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of the banquet.'" What kind of excuses do people offer today for not coming to Jesus Christ? Oh, I want to have some fun right now. I'll surrender to Jesus later. Very common, isn't it? I've got my dreams, I've got my plans, I want to enjoy this and that. I know that Jesus makes demands on me, and I want to have fun with my life. I'll come later. I don't want to surrender control of my life. That's a huge one. I don't want to give up on my dreams. I'll surrender to Jesus later. I want to make some money. I want to have some nice things. I've got a lot of obligations right now. I'll surrender to Jesus later. I've really got a lot of family responsibilities. If that's you today, please forgive me if I offend you with what I'm about to say, but I love you with all of my heart. You fool. You have no idea how long you will live. You could go out that door today and get hit by a car or get a terrible disease or be killed, and then what? The Bible says he who saves his life will lose it. But he who loses his life will find it in the end. What is your excuse? Join me again in Matthew 22, please. Verse 8. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. One of the most beautiful verses in the entire scripture. As the gospel goes out to anyone who will humble themselves and admit they need Christ. The king graciously extends his invitation to other people. People that the religious leaders thought were undeserving. The original guests reject the invitation. Turn back a couple pages to Matthew chapter 9. See an example of someone from the street corners accepting the invitation. Matthew 9:9. We'll read to verse 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Remember that the religious leaders despised tax collectors and would see them as totally unworthy. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus is making it clear that he came to call sinners. Jesus came for sinners, people just like you and me. No matter who you are in this room today, no matter what you have done, you are invited to the banquet. In Matthew 11, Jesus says this. He says he is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In the parable we read earlier, the parable of the two sons. Jesus says to the religious leaders, he says, the tax collectors and prostitutes are getting into the kingdom ahead of you. The self-righteous religious leaders rejected the gospel. They rejected God's invitation, and now the invitation goes out to others. And notice that the banquet hall is filled. Jesus is trying to teach the religious leaders something. He's saying, what I value is a humble heart. The person who humbles themselves and admits their need for God is the one that enters the kingdom of heaven. One of the most beautiful stories that Jesus tells is in Luke chapter 18. Would you join me there, please? Luke 18. We'll be in verses 9 to 14. Luke 18, 9 to 14. To some who were confident in their own righteousness. Do you see that? And look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance, he would not even look up to heaven. But beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Look at Jesus' words, Trinity. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What about you? What about you? No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, if you will humble yourself today, Jesus will forgive you. Are you self-righteous today? A self-righteous person is a person who thinks they're okay. I go to church. I know about Jesus. It's cool. We used to say that a lot. It's cool. I don't really need to humble myself before God. I go to church. I know about Jesus. I've got a Bible. I know all the right things. Listen to me, I'm going to say it very clearly. If you have not been born again, you need Jesus. If you have not been born again and experienced the radical life change of Jesus Christ coming in and taking over your life, you must humble yourself today. Jesus is talking to self-righteous people who think they're okay. Is that you? I'm going to take you to one more. Luke chapter 7. This is my last one. After this, you can sit in Matthew 22. We'll be there the rest of the time. Luke 7, 36. We'll take it to verse 50. Luke 7, 36. Now one of the Pharisees, here they are again, Trinity, invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house, reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, She brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who'd invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I've got something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher." "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Which one will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet. But she wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair." The Pharisee is so self-righteous that the Son of God comes into his house and he's not even a gracious host. "You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who's been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The self-righteous Jews, Simon in particular, are sitting there thinking everything is okay. And the sinful woman humbled herself and came to Jesus and was given amazing grace. Trinity Baptist, I want you to hear something. Jesus' parables are shocking. And you need to get the shock value of it. The glorious grace of the gospel is this. Right now, there are prostitutes, there are drug pushers, there are gangsters, there are criminals, there are sex offenders, right now outside this building. Someday, they will humble themselves, admit their need for God, forsake their sin, embrace the cross of Jesus Christ, and they will enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And there are some of you in this room who are self-righteous. You think you're okay. And you have never humbled yourself, admitted your need for God, reached up and embrace the cross and been born again. And if you haven't been born again, some of you in this room will not enter the kingdom of God. Verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, Matthew 22:11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen." Trinity, I'm almost done. When someone was invited to a wedding in Jesus' day, they're expected to wear clean, nice clothes. The same is true today, probably to a lesser degree. This man just showed up in whatever he was wearing. Not all scholars believe this, but some scholars believe that the host of an ancient wedding like this would have been prepared to provide nice clothes for the guests. If that is the case, then for whatever reason, the man refused the offer of wedding clothes when he got into the building. By doing this, he insulted the host. This man came to the banquet. Listen, this man came to the banquet but did not honor the king. What about you? Have you made a superficial belief in Jesus Christ? You go to church, you talk about Jesus, you believe the facts about the gospel, but you have never truly been born again. You have never truly been born again and experienced the joy of being crucified with Christ. The old life is gone. The new life has come. You've never experienced the joy of saying goodbye to the old life. And by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, letting Jesus Christ come and live in your heart and make you a totally new person. Michael talked about radical Christianity. Radical Christianity is letting Jesus Christ become your master. Radical Christianity is saying goodbye to the old life, saying, I, Dave Gordon, have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If you've never experienced that joy, I say it every week, but I'm really saying it now. The elders will be right there. Please come talk to us. God loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. But you and I have fallen so far short of His glory. We are vile, corrupt, perverted, evil people. And we have offended a holy God. I have, you have. The good news is, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He was taking the punishment for all of your sins. All of the sins you have done, all of the sins you are doing, all of the sins you will do. He took the punishment for all of it. And all you have to do is turn and face the Son. Embrace Jesus Christ. If you are not sure that you have humbled yourself and truly experienced the life-changing power of a relationship with Jesus Christ, please come talk to the elders.